Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And we just pray again that you'd use the program to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to, again, point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and kind of a nice evening out there. I think it was, the temperature is down a little bit, and humidity's down a little bit from what it was earlier in the week, and so it's just kind of pleasant out there right now. But I hope you had a good 4th of July, celebrating our nation's independence on Independence Day, and I hope you had a chance to get out and do something, maybe have a barbecue or something, and to get together with family and friends and just thank God for the privilege that we have. And it is a privilege to be able to live here in this country and enjoy the freedoms that we have. There's very few places in the world you have the freedom that you have here in this country. A lot of people have not traveled outside of the United States, and I really do think it's a good thing for people to have that experience, to be able to spend some time in another country, and you quickly realize that we are blessed to be here in the United States. For all its problems, for all the troubles and difficulties that we have, we still are blessed to be here in the United States. I'm thankful for it. Well, you are listening to, as I said, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, and I got something going on here that I can't stop. Just a minute here. I hit a button on my computer and something started talking to me there. Just a minute here, and you can find us, on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can also, in addition to listen to past programs, not only both hours, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour of our Sunday night program are there, but also our Friday afternoon programs. We have them there as well, all at livewithpastoral.com. And then in addition to that, we have a number of other things that are available there. There's some articles that I have there. There's comments about a few things, but mostly you can check out some of the articles that I have that you can link to. And there's also a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and we'll have more information about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church coming up a little bit later. But you can find out more about that all live with Pastor Al.com. So I encourage you to check that out. In addition, wanted to mention that we have coming up, Pray For Us, just a couple of weeks, I guess. It's coming up quickly. June the 22nd, that's what, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
July.
It's getting here. I just said June, didn't I? July the 22nd. July the 22nd, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow, Tuesday the 23rd, July the 22nd is the setup for the Summit County Fair. And so on the 23rd, through the 28th, we'll be at the Summit County Fair. I personally will be there pretty much most of the time between the 23rd and the 27th, but I will be at our church since I'm the pastor on the 28th. Some other people from our church will be there. But pray for us. And if you're down that way, the fairgrounds, Summit County Fairgrounds, is in Talmadge, Ohio, pretty much Route 91 and Howe Avenue, right there about that area there on the north side of Talmadge and just west of or east of Akron, just east of Akron. At, as I said, Howe Avenue and 91, and Route 91 there. And if you're out that way, check us out. We'll be at the Summit County Fair. We have a booth right where you come in the main entrance of the fairgrounds, and generally come in. There's a series of booths on both sides of the entryway, and as you come in, we would be on the right. And so if you're coming to the Summit County Fair and you're coming in the main entryway, check us out. Look for us. The booth is for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we also have a sign there for the radio program, Live with Pastor Al. And if you're coming through there, stop at the booth and hopefully get a chance to meet you. We usually each year we meet somebody from our listening audience that visits at the fair, the Summit County Fair. So pray for us there. All right. Well, with that, as I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple of people lined up. And just before I get to them, let me do mention one thing here. I'm going to talk about it later, maybe at length in the 11 o'clock hour. But tomorrow, there is a meeting of the Republican National Convention party platform meeting. These are the people who write the party platform. And they will be meeting tomorrow and Tuesday in Milwaukee, and they are going to be putting together the Republican Party platform. And it's for the National Republican Party. And there are some concerns that the Republican Party, which for over 50 years has had a strong pro-life plank in it, the last two-party platforms have been incredible in terms of their commitment to life. There is some concern that there are forces at work attempting to weaken the Republican Party platform in regards to life, not just life, but also in regards to marriage, in regards to Israel, and in regards to God. And this is important. Let me give you a website. It's called platformintegrityproject.com. That's platformintegrityproject.com. And if you go to platformintegrityproject.com, you will find some information there that will help you to be able to make a difference in regards to what is going on with the Republican Party platform. The reason I want to mention this right now, and I may talk about it later in the program as well in the 11 o'clock hour, is that this is happening tomorrow, Monday, Monday, July the 8th, and Tuesday, July the 9th. And they need to hear from you right away. You can send an email right now to the Ohio delegates. We have Spencer Gross and Emily Miller are the Ohio delegates to the party platform committee. And they need to hear from you right now. Platformintegrityproject.com. That's platformintegrityproject.com. And if you're not in the state of Ohio, if you're in another state, you can also find your delegates there as well. And if you go there, it will direct you to where your delegates are. There's a form there, a button there that says contact my delegates, and it will walk you through and it will give you the information that you need to enable you to contact your delegates to the Republican National Convention Party Platform Committee. And you can tell them that you want them to protect the Republican position on life. And one of the suggested things here is that we're hearing that you may be overly influenced by consultants who want to water down the nearly 50-year position of the Republican Party on life. I do not support a weakening of the platform on life. Please do not cave to political consultant pressure, but rather uphold the self-evident truth and values upon which our country was founded. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as I said, if you go to platformintegrityproject.com, that's platformintegrityproject.com, and follow the buttons there. It's pretty self-explanatory. You can click on the buttons, and it'll help you put together an email and send it to your delegates. You can do that tonight. You can do that tomorrow morning. You can do it as soon as you can. And if you do it tonight, you can do it right now during the radio program if you want. Go to platformintegrityproject.com. That's platformintegrityproject.com. And you could do that right now, and that email will be waiting for them in the morning. And they need to have their emails filled to overflowing to remind them to protect life. The Republican Party has a long-standing history, all the way back to its founding, when part of the reason that it was founded was to take a stand against slavery, because they believed that slavery was wrong and that every human life counts. And so now they're fighting, and they've been on the vanguard on the fight against abortion, because, again, the belief that every human life is of value, whether it was fighting against slavery in the 1800s or fighting against abortion here in the 2000s. So I hope you'll go to platformintegrityproject.com. That's platformintegrityproject.com. And check that out. Contact your state's delegates. If you're in Ohio, as I said, there's Spencer Gross and Emily Miller. The email addresses are there. If you're not in Ohio, it'll direct you to your delegates, and you can send them an email. They have all the information there at platformintegrityproject.com. That's platformintegrityproject.com. All right, and pray for them as they're rewriting the Republican National Party platform here Monday and Tuesday. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Again, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting for us here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you for welcoming Pastor Al.
Good evening.
I'm really
yes.
glad you told us about this platformintegrityproject.com project, because this is so important. I have heard on the news that some people are trying to weaken the Republican stand, you know, on pro-life. So I'm really glad to know what we can do to help further, to keep our 50-year platform strong, pro-life. Well, anyhow, praise the Lord. Now, my subject tonight, and I'm definitely going to be contacting, you said Spencer Gross and Emily Miller for Ohio.
Correct. And like I said, if you go there to the website there at platformintegrityproject.com, they'll walk you through it there. You just click on the button that says Contact My Delegates. And when you do that, it'll ask you what state or territory you're in. And you just enter that and take it from there.
Okay, well, thank you very much. So I'm glad I can do my little part.
Right. This is a time when us night owls can make a difference, isn't it?
That's for sure. Yes. Okay, now I had an opportunity, it's just sort of by coincidence, to witness to a Jehovah Witness. And mm-hmm. We were carrying on this, I never met her before. We're in the swimming pool locker room. And we were carrying on this really lively conversation. She was real friendly. And I did my usual, oh, you're so nice. You seem like a Christian. And she's, oh, I'm a Jehovah Witness. And so she started sharing her faith with me. And she kept saying, now our faith, Jehovah Witness, we go out strictly according to the Bible. And I mm-hmm. said, so do we, the Bible believing. I said, I don't like to emphasize that I'm Baptist, but I am. And we go according to the Bible. And so I quoted, actually, I didn't quote it. I couldn't think of it, but Jeffrey told me where it was. I knew it was somewhere. I and my Father are one. John.
Right.
So Jeffrey told me it was John.
Yeah, in the 30. Gospel of John, he mentions that. I wish I would have
said that to him, but I did say it to the second bunch. Then I ran into two more.
I was going to say John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one.
Yeah, 10:30, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite verse, John 14:6. I remembered this really well because I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I kept, as I said it real dramatically, and I kept sort of rephrasing it, but, this Jehovah Witness lady, the one that I spoke to first, she was very, very talkative, and she just kept voting different verses like, my Father is greater than me, or something like mm-hmm. that. And,
right.
And I said, but there is only one way to heaven through Jesus, and I'm concerned for you. And she said, oh, don't worry about me. We Jehovah Witnesses, we know how to get to heaven. And she just went on, and I did too. I don't think I phased her, or me and the Holy Spirit phased her at all. Now, can you suggest, I know I'm going to run into her again, some other things I can say to her, or do you think her mind is that made up?
Well,
besides,
there is that to consider. In fact, oftentimes, I know you were talking to her in a different setting, but oftentimes people interact with Jehovah's Witnesses when they knock on their door, and there's oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes there's a senior partner and a junior partner, and
yes.
My practice has always been to sow a little seed of the gospel and a little doubt in the Jehovah's Witness theology with the junior partner, because I usually figure the senior partner is a little too brainwashed or whatever on this. But the passage, I and my Father one, I think personally, and this is my thoughts and what I have done with Jehovah's Witnesses, is I emphasize the deity of Christ because they do not believe that Jesus is Christ. They don't like to tell you too much about what they really believe about Jesus, except that he's not God, when you first talk to them.
I butted in when she was talking. I said, from my understanding, the main difference between my interpretation of the Bible and yours is that you do not believe that Jesus is God. And she said, yeah, that's true.
Well, and
know that I didn't believe. I said, but he is God. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, no, that is good that you made that clarification, because we can talk about all kinds of things, and she can say, well, we Jehovah's Witnesses know how to get to heaven, but the reality of the matter is, most Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe they're going to heaven. They believe they're going to paradise on earth. They believe. If I remember correctly, only 144,000 get to go to heaven. The rest mm-hmm. of the Jehovah's Witnesses are hoping for paradise on earth, and they have no assurance. They have no assurance. That's why they knock on doors. That's why they give out their literature. That's why they try to have Bible studies, because they're hoping one more door, one more Bible study, one more piece of literature is going to be enough to get them into paradise on earth. They're never 100% mm-hmm. sure. But you can go around.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
When she was, she that brings back to memory, that is what she was saying. And so I said, well, you know, one of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:13, and ye may know that ye have eternal life. God can give you assurance.
Right.
If you believe in, you know, but it didn't phase her.
Yeah.
But anyhow, at least I put my two cents in there.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think that hitting the deity of Christ is important because, you know, the idea, they start with this false premise that he's not really God. He's not deity. He's not deity. He's a lesser God. In fact, they don't tell you this right away. They believe he's Michael the Archangel, a created being. Okay? And the Jehovah's Witnesses at one time used the King James Bible, but it was too inconvenient, so they put their own Bible translation together called the New World Translation. And in the New World Translation, unlike every other version of the Bible, except for one, which I'll mention in a minute, they have attacked 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They, on the basis of one singular translation in German of the Gospel of John, they changed that, despite the fact that every other version, every other manuscript, whatever the language says, essentially what I just read in English, they change it to read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, and they interject the little word A, and then they take the capital G away from God and make it a small g. So they say, and the Word was a God with a little g. And as I said, there's only one known version of the Gospel of John. It's in the German language, a defrocked Roman Catholic priest by the name of Johann Gerber, who, writing by his own admission, under the influence of a fallen angel, a devil or a demon, he, under, like I said, it's his own admission, he admits it, he was given a version of the Gospel of John that said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That is the only known, at least at the time that I did some reading and research on this, that was the only known at that time version of the Gospel of John that said a God. Everything else says in the Word was God. So they rejected everything else. And they seized on a translation that was given by Johann Gerber's own admission by a devil. And they said, that's the one we're going to use. Now, most Jehovah's Witnesses don't know that.
That is incredible.
Yeah, most of them don't know that. So because they're operating on the basis that Jesus is a little g God, that he's actually Michael the Archangel, they interpret John chapter 10, verse 30, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, as meaning we're one in the same in our goal, in our plan. You know, I'm united with God in what I want to do. But see, the problem with that is, the next verse says, verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of those works do ye stone me? Well, Jesus already knew what the answer was. And the Jews in verse 33 answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God, with a big G. So they were going to stone it because they realized that Jesus said that he was God. When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, they knew that he meant that he was God in the flesh. There was no ambiguity on their part, but yet the Jehovah's Witnesses don't get it because, see, they're not taught to think. They're only taught to remember and regurgitate what they're taught, what they're told.
Well, I tell you, this lady really did. And when she kept saying, our faith is totally based on the Bible. I do remember that they had a different translation of the Bible.
Yeah, the New World Translation.
I couldn't think of the name of it. but she claimed, of course, her version.
I was going to share this with you too. They claim that Jesus never said that he was God, but see, what we read there in John chapter 10, Jesus did claim to be God, and there's elsewhere that he does as well, but they just ignore all of that, and then they also claim that there's nowhere else in the scripture that says that he's God, but in Hebrews chapter 1, it's really interesting, because in Hebrews chapter 1, it starts out this way in verse 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So God is a reference to the Father, and the Son's a reference to Jesus, whom he also appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And it continues saying, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then it says this, as he continues, I'm reading this to get the context here so you can see this. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So they'll say, see, he's created. He's created.
Mm-hmm.
No, the begotten is the first begotten of the dead. You can see that in Revelation chapter 1 and elsewhere. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, I believe it is, says that, or 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. All talks about the first begotten of the dead, because Jesus is the first in the resurrection. I was preaching on the Lazarus being raised back to life in John chapter 11 this morning, and there's a difference between being raised back to life like Lazarus was and the resurrection that Jesus was the first of that took place after his crucifixion. Lazarus died again. When you're resurrected, you'll never die again. And I know we're coming up on the break here. We can hold you over if need be here. But he continues, and he says this in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So why would God the Father, who said you're not to worship anybody but him, tell the angels to worship Jesus if Jesus isn't God?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says in verse 8, but unto the Son, he, meaning God the Father, saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. So God the Father calls Jesus God in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Directly, not ambiguously, not inferring it, because they always tell me, you have to infer that he's God. No, it says it right there. But under the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And if that's not good enough, in verse 10 it says, that God the Father says in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. So God the Father calls Jesus Lord. So in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 8, verse 6, he tells the angels to worship Jesus, when you're only supposed to worship God and God alone. In verse 8, he calls Jesus God, and in verse 10, he calls him Lord. Well, there's three references that show that the Bible says he's God. And, there's others. 1 John, you talk about 1 John chapter 5, and I know we don't have time to go through all this because the break is coming up rapidly, but in 1 John chapter 5, I like to read this because as soon as you read this, they'll kind of pull themselves up and smile smugly because they've been told a lie and they don't know any different. Unfortunately, people who use other Bible translations other than the King James don't know either. And this is a reason why you should use the King James, why it's superior to the other translations. It's because in the King James version of the Bible in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 7, the Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
It doesn't mean one in goal,
one in purpose. It means they are one. They are one God, just like it says in Colossians, you know, in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about in Christ. And so Jesus made himself equal with God because he is God. Now, the Father was greater because Jesus took on limitations so that he could live here on earth. Think about this. When Moses was given the Ten Commandments and God was meeting with him on the mountain, the people were told to stay away from the mountain lest they die from coming in too close to the presence of God. When Moses wanted to see God, God said, you know, closest you can get is I'll shelter you here in the cleft of the rock, like we sing the song, and I'll pass by. And Moses basically was able to see, in a sense, the afterglow of God's presence. We cannot come directly into the presence of God right now without being struck dead because of our sinful flesh. And so we need that help there. Hey, we got a break. Stay with us, Nancy. We'll continue. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, find out more about me, more about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of our program here tonight, where I am the pastor. And also, in addition to that, you can check out East Coast Pizza. And East Coast Pizza, of course, is another sponsor. They help sponsor our program here a little bit as well. And East Coast Pizza is located in Garfield Heights, Ohio at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Also, if you want to get into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant or something and you want to offer some pizza and you need a good recipe, contact Gus at East Coast Pizza. That's 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask Gus how he can help you get set up in your own pizza business. Not a franchise. He'll help you get set up in your own pizza business. That's East Coast Pizza. 216-341-9100. 216-341-9100, located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here, and I was talking with Nancy before the break, and is that Nancy back with us? Oh, okay, we got somebody else. I wanted to finish something. I was talking with Nancy. We lost Nancy over the break, and I just wanted to share something here just before we move on to our next caller here. Wanted to point you to an article. I had an article that I wrote a little over a year ago, and it's entitled, Can You Trust 1 John 5:7 in your Bible? And I was telling Nancy, because she was asking about Jehovah's Witnesses and talking with them, and I believe the best thing to do with them is not get caught up in a whole bunch of different things, but just to concentrate on the deity of Christ. And if you can know and understand and defend the deity of Christ from the Scriptures, I believe that you will be able to make a difference and sow at least a little bit of the gospel and put a little bit of the Bible into the hearts of some of these Jehovah's Witnesses that just might germinate. The Spirit of God begins to work on them, that they would begin to realize the error of the Jehovah's Witness organization, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and how it is an anti-Christ, anti-Bible group. It's a cult. It's a false religion leading people away from God into the arms of the devil. And I just concentrate mostly on the deity of Christ. And I said just going into the break that I like to point people to 1 John 5:7. And I'll point to the Jehovah's Witnesses and I'll read it. And that's the verse that says, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And almost invariably when I read that verse or reference that verse, they kind of draw themselves up and give a smug smile and say something to the effect of, oh, that's a spurious verse. It wasn't in the originals. It was added later. And, you know, that's what they're trained to say. And unfortunately, if you do not use the King James Bible and understand why we use the King James Bible rather than the New International Version or today's English Version or the English Standard Version or the New King James or the New American Standard or any of these other modern versions, if you don't understand why we don't use them, why we use the King James instead, you're going to be at a disadvantage talking with them, because most of the modern versions share something in common with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They all don't like this verse. They take it out, they weaken it, they reword it, they change it, and they try to imply that it's not in the originals. But here's the problem with that. When you research this verse, and they call it the Johannine comma. That's a big, funny word there. I guess we got Nancy back. Nancy, are you there?
Yeah, you know what? I hung up too quickly.
Yeah.
Right while I was hanging up, I said, well, we'll hold you over, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to share this on 1 John 5:7, because I believe this is a very strong verse, even though the modern versions have taken it away. In fact, the New American Standard Bible it's gone, and they have a footnote that says a few late manuscripts add, and then they put in the phrase, in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that testify on earth, the Spirit, mm-hmm. And they put that in a footnote where most people don't see it. The New International Version has a footnote that says, late manuscripts of the Vulgate testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that testify on earth. And then it says, not found in any Greek manuscript before the 14th century, which is simply not true. That's not true at all. They knew it wasn't true, but they put it in there anyways. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have been taught this, so they think it's a spurious verse. Like, unfortunately, many people who don't use the King James, they've been told it's a spurious verse. But here, let me just give you a few things here. Cyprian, who was ministering around 200-258 AD, he quotes this in his treatise 1, verse 6, chapter 6, however you phrase that, says, the Lord says, I and the Father are one. And again, it is written of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. He's clearly quoting 1 John 5:7 that we see in the King James Bible, and he's doing it in the 3rd century.
Wow.
Here's Origen. Origen, who's not necessarily one of our favorites, denies a lot of things, but he lived 184 to 253 AD. He says this, behold, the eyes of the bondservants in the hands of their Lord, as the eyes of a bondswoman in the hands of their lady, so are our eyes toward the Lord our God until he may pity us. Spirit and body are the bondservants of the Lord, Father and Son, but the soul is the bondwoman of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord our God is three, for the three are one. And he's alluding to 1 John 5:7 that we have in the King James Bible. So any Bible that does not say in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, is suspect. Check your Bible out. If you're using something other than the King James Bible, and it doesn't say, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, you better get a King James Bible. Athanasius, in 296 to 373 A.D., he said this, but also is not sin-remitting, life-giving, and sanctifying washing, without which no one shall see the kingdom of heaven, given to the faithful in the thrice-blessed name. In addition to all these, and this is what he says, John affirms, and these three are one. He directly quotes 1 John 5:7. And that was, all this is in the 3rd-4th century time frame. Here's Priscillian. I'm sorry?
You know who you remind me of is Bruce Musselman.
I was just thinking of him. I have to read this. Bruce Musselman would say this.
He would say.
Yeah, he'd say this off the top of his head.
Yeah, and he's always talking about Origen.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But
listen to this one. Listen to this one. Priscillian of Avila in 380 A.D., this is in the 4th century, Priscillian of Avila said this, as John says, there are three that give testimony in earth, the water, the flesh, and the blood, and these three are one. And there are three that give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
Here's Augustine, of all people. On two occasions, he referred to this. One, he said, therefore, God, supreme and true, with his Word and Holy Spirit, which three are one, one God, omnipotent, creator, and maker of every soul and of every body. Now, he alluded to it there, which three are one. And then he says this, again, three things then we know to have issued from the body of the Lord when he hung upon the tree. First, the Spirit, which is written, and he bowed the head and gave up the Spirit. Then as his side was pierced by the Spirit, blood and water, which three things, if we look as they are in themselves, they are in substance, several and distinct, and therefore they are not one. But if we will inquire into the things signified by these, they are not unreasonably come comes into our thoughts, the Trinity itself, which is the one and only true supreme God, Father and Son and Holy Ghost, of whom it most truly be said, there are three witnesses and the three are one. Again, referring to it. Mm-hmm. And I can go on and on. I got a whole list here more of this. I can say with the utmost confidence that when I read in the King James Bible, 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, I have confidence that belongs in the Scriptures, and you can have confidence in that. And if your Bible it takes away from the authenticity of that reading, you need another Bible. I would suggest the King James Bible. And the Jehovah's Witnesses don't know this. I purposely use this verse. They get overconfident, and then when they smugly say it's a spurious verse, it wasn't in the originals, it was added later, I hit them with some of these things. I actually have written in the margin of my Bible a number of versions, like the old Syriac in 170 AD, the old Latin of 200, and different ones that all had this verse in it. And they don't know what to say because they've never heard this.
Wow.
They don't know this.
Profound.
And so I say it not so that I can be a know-it-all, but because I want to shake. I want to shake their confidence in what they've been taught.
Of course.
But see, again, if you're not using a King James Bible, you don't have that opportunity to do that. And that's why I tell people, you got to use a King James Bible, because that's the Word of God, inspired by God and preserved for us in the English language. And people say, well, it's too hard to read those these and thous and yees are too hard. Put a little effort into it. If you want to know what the Bible says, you'll put the effort into it. Thee, thou, and thine, those are, it starts with a TH, those are singular personal pronouns. That's there for a reason. Ye, you, and your, those are plural personal pronouns. Starts with a Y. That's there for a reason. They didn't even speak that way in the 1600s. People say, that's old language. It was old language in the 1600s. They reached back to the 1400s when the English language still distinguished clearly between singular and plural personal pronouns. By the 1600s, the distinction was largely gone, and now today the distinction is pretty much gone. We just use you, you, your, and things like that. We don't have the distinction anymore, except by context. But the King James translators wisely went back and they used an old form of English so that they could clearly delineate the difference between singular and plural personal pronouns. Singular, again, is the thee, thou, and thine. Plural is the ye, you, and your. And it makes a big difference. And people just don't know this. The King James has it in there for a reason. Plus, the King James preserves long sentence structures that the new versions do not have largely. And again, all that's a reason. If you want to know something, when I was studying wildlife biology, you know, I learned phrases that a lot of people don't know. If it was daylight, I could look out the window and say, my, I'm observing a herd of ungulates browsing on the forbs in the riparian community. And a lot of people are going, what in the world did he just say? And I just merely said, there's a bunch of deer down there by the creek browsing on you know, the shrubs and the bushes and stuff down there. I know what that means because I wanted to know the subject. I wanted to understand. I learned the lingo. My wife, who's a registered nurse, sometimes talks with other nurses, and they go off into nurse speak. They use terms and shorthand and stuff that I don't fully understand, but she does because she's a nurse, and she wants to know these things. If somebody wants to know, don't give us this excuse. It's too hard to understand. I've seen grade school kids figure this out and have no trouble at all with the these and the yees, where adults say that's just too hard. No, it's not. It's easy, and it's there for a reason. If you want to know the Bible, put some effort into it. It's not going to be spoon-fed to you. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we're supposed to learn the Scriptures. So hopefully that gives you a starting point there, Nancy.
Excellent. I took copious notes, and I'm going to study them, try to memorize them when I run into her.
And there's a lot more. There's parts in the Old Testament that reveal the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity, the Godhead as well. And don't have time to get into those tonight. I got more callers lined up already.
Okay, thank you. explained it so well.
Yeah, so we can pick that up again, talk about some other things at another time dealing with this subject.
Thank you very much.
And I might even later on the program. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up for us tonight, Nancy.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. God bless. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Dr. K calling in tonight, and welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hey, good to hear from you.
South Pacific friend.
Yes, yes, I saw your name come up on there. How you been?
Very good, and I really... love your everything you say is right up there with everything else that I listen to on 1220.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
With Pastor Ernie, with J. Vernon McGee, etc. I mean, I'm blown away by what you're saying tonight, and it's fantastic. I have had my run-ins with Jehovah's Witness and others. And it is incredible to confront them. And
yeah.
They will sit down with you. There's no question about it. They will.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also defrocked them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And living out of state as I have, and also out of country as I have wound up confronting the Mormons, the Church of Latter-day Saints, in their planet of salvation, which is called Kolod, K-O-L-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their heaven is Kolod. And they really do not like to talk about Kolod. But the minute you mention that to them, boy, you can drop them to their, you know, they'll leave if you mention Kolod, because they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And, yeah. And I can make you laugh because as a younger man, I had a pretty good arm and could throw a baseball or a football pretty far. And these Mormons could also do the same. we were out in the parking lot of my apartment complex throwing the ball as far as we could to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that just dispelled the whole thing. Ooh, at least we were friends in the sense that we could throw the ball a long way.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you need something that you have a basis where you have, and that gives you an opportunity to talk to somebody.
But
and be a witness,
you know,
to somebody.
I listen to you. I wake up at 6, so often I haven't called in a while because I'm normally asleep. But I always have you on and had to call you. Because one of the things I had to tell you is that if you watch some of the people that are speaking for, satanic influences, so easy to spot, okay? And their lies are so apparent. And it's like Satan does not have something, okay? There's something missing that you can spot it so fast. And you know what I'm talking about, all right? I don't want to name names or whatnot, but certain people in politics that are talking, it's so easy to see what they're coming, where they're coming from. And it's
right.
Like Satan does not, I mean, he's fallen, and he tried to be there and didn't get it, but he's got, and he tries to get all this, no doubt. But when he starts talking, it's like he totally missed the boat. And I right past
him. Oh, yeah. It's like people have tells. And I'll give you one politician that a few people have heard of, Joe Biden. Whenever Joe Biden says, no lie, not a joke, you know whatever he's going to say isn't true.
Yes.
He's consistent with that. Every time he stresses that what he's about to say is absolutely true, you can pretty much bet it's absolutely not true. And that's like his tone. Satan's the same way. He's got certain tells and that reveal him, tip his hand, if you watch. and you pay attention to what's going on. I had a verse. You're talking about the Mormons. Here's a verse that they don't like either. Isaiah 43, verse 10, where he says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he." And then he says this, "And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." And one of the Mormons' big things is, as God is, man can be, and as man is, God once was. Meaning Jehovah God was once a man on another planet who became a god. And right. If you're a good Mormon here on this planet, you'll become a god. And yet God says here, there was no god formed before him, and there's no god formed after him.
Mm-hmm.
No other gods. In fact, if you go through Isaiah chapter 42, 43, 44, 45, in that range there, there's frequent statements to the effect of, "Is there a god beside me? Yea, there is no god, I know not any." Either Jehovah's a big liar, or he is the only God, and Jehovah or the Mormons are wrong, completely wrong.
I wanted to ask you, Pastor L, did you ever see the Southern Cross?
Yes. When we were in the Samoan Islands, it was one of the most beautiful displays. Of course, we had nice night sky. You could see the Milky Way just like somebody splattered milk across the sky. And the Southern Cross from my side yard, sort of front side yard, I could look up because we were kind of on a hill overlooking the Pacific. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. You could see it. And it was incredible. It was incredible. So, it was an incredible sight. And it's interesting, in the Southern Hemisphere, you got the Southern Cross, which always points south. And in the Northern Hemisphere, you've got the North Star, you know, Polaris, that always points north. It's almost like God put something there for us, huh?
That's right.
So, yeah. So, anyway, it's exciting when you think about it.
You bet. Pastor L, I love you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in for us here tonight, and I look forward to hearing from you again. So, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We are coming up on a break here for a moment, and we've got Terry there waiting patiently for us. Let's grab Terry here before the break. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
You know, you are in the crosshairs of the hurricane that's hitting Texas right now.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a cone of projection. It's been bouncing around a little bit all day, and it's taking it to varying tracks have taken it between Lansing and Detroit, Michigan, and Toledo and Sandusky, Ohio. And but all of them take it up across Lake Erie into toward London, Ontario, and up into your neck of the woods. So about Wednesday or Thursday or so, you're probably going to get some rain and wind.
Some remnants of it, eh?
Which we will as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. It's an early hurricane and kind of unusual how it's worked out. But we got about 30 seconds. We're going to have a break here in just a minute. There is a chance, I'll let you know, Terry, if you want to hold on, but there's a chance I might have somebody calling in at the top of the hour that I need to take as well. In fact, I think he did call in. So you can hang on, but we're going to be right back. And stay tuned. We got an hour to go.
Summer 1787. Delegates gathered in Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation. Their efforts were at a standstill. It was hot, tempers were flaring, the Union was in danger of collapsing. On June 28th, an old man, Benjamin Franklin, addressed the president of the convention. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." With this reminder to seek God, our Constitution was born. Today, we've all but abandoned God in our nation. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. If our founding fathers realized they could not build a nation without God, what makes us think that we can keep a nation without God?